Things are a buzz here in the state of Alabama, and I can't imagine why. If you were anywhere around a TV Saturday afternoon, you probably saw it once or twice or maybe even 12 times. But it's been called the Miracle on the Plains, an unbelievable 73-yard, fourth down and 18-touchdown pass, if you can call it that, from Nick Marshall to Auburn wide receiver Ricardo Lewis, lifted the Tigers to a 38 win over Georgia. At that point, all hope seemed lost. And, you know, Auburn, at that point, they had everything on the line. Their BCS championship hopes, their SEC title game hopes, they were all down by a point. And if you've seen the play, it's unbelievable. And that's an understatement. As Marshall threw it up, it was tipped by several Georgia defenders. And somehow, some way, Ricardo Lewis found the ball and then found the end zone. I'll bring in David Sears now, who, of course, joins me each Monday to talk about everything in the SEC and college football. And Sears, have you ever seen anything like that?
That play was just amazing to behold. I mean, you look at the fact that not one but two Georgia defenders have a shot at that ball.
Yeah.
And instead of knocking the ball down, one of them inexplicably just knocks it up. It goes just the right distance. The Auburn wide receiver looks. He has no clue where the ball is and just catches it at the last moment before it starts going past him. Gets both hands on it and continues running. It's very similar to the Immaculate Reception, yeah. The fact that there's no way that should have happened, but it did.
Well, and the interesting thing, too, is the scenario in the game. Some Auburn fans believe it was justice because on the previous possession, Aaron Murray had scrambled on a fourth down. That was pretty much the ball game for Georgia, and he reached the goal line. Now, whether he crossed it or not and broke the plane is up for debate. Replay really never showed a clear and conclusive angle of it, so we could determine it. And to me, there wasn't enough evidence to overturn the call. And so from that standpoint, if they're going to make the call on the field that it was not a touchdown, then it's very difficult to overturn that. But I can definitely see Auburn fans arguing, because I didn't see any evidence that he broke the plane either.
Well, I was driving over to my in-laws to watch the Bama game at the point, and Stan White was livid.
Yeah, I heard
absolutely
that.
Livid about the touchdown call. To me, the problem was it's something that's going to have to address by the SEC. We only have one view of the goal line. We don't have both sides of the goal line, unless it's a very special game, like a championship game or a just kickoff classic. But we only saw one view, and the view we had was different from what we saw. There was no definitive view. As you said, that Auburn linebacker blocked the Aaron Murray's knee, so we couldn't see if he was down or not, and there was no definitive overhead view because it was blocked from that. So it's very difficult, but in the end, Auburn was able to make it play. They came very close to blowing it, but a great play there. But I believe Dee Ford was the one that got pressure on Murray, hit him as he tried to throw the ball, and it just went about 4 yards and fell down. So,
well, and Auburn's win sets up an Iron Bowl now for the first time ever that will be for the right to play in the SEC championship game, and it's already started here in Alabama. If you live here, you know the hype machine is always great for this game. These two fan bases are passionate as it gets in college football. But this game and these 2 weeks are going to be something special. And I will also add to that, Sears. You talk about the SEC officials and close calls determining games. Auburn and Georgia is one thing, but if it comes down to a call in the Iron Bowl, I think that a nuclear explosion in another part of the world, we want to talk about Iran's nuclear program, they would have nothing on what would happen in the state of Alabama if that were the case.
Oh, I guarantee you that if the Iron Bowl comes down to a very controversial call, whatever fan base is the one that gets the short end of the stick will cry bloody murder, and Mike Sly will have to be very careful about where he eats and what he does in the state of Alabama. But I don't think it will come down to that. I think most of the time the refs get the calls right.
Yeah, they do.
And I just think we'll see a really good officiated game, a very well-officiated game, a very well-played game. It's going to be CBS's probably highest-rated game of the season. I wonder if they'll try to make another deal to move it to prime time the way they did with Alabama LSU and 2011, see if they can move that to prime time, make it a 7 o'clock kick.
Well, I spoke, I spoke to someone about that a couple of weeks ago who would know, and I was told that I don't know. It's not out of the question, but it would be very difficult, and CBS would probably have to concede some important things that they may not want to concede, potentially pertaining to the next couple of years. So I would love to see it. It deserves prime time. It is definitely this year's game of the century, but I don't know if I would hold my breath if I were you and fans, if I'm a fan out there of this game being played at 7 o'clock. Alabama, let's move on now. They achieved a very sluggish 20-7 win over Mississippi State. We talked last week about A.J. McCarron and potentially being in the running for the Heisman, but you know, he did not have his usual spectacular performance, only 187 yards, which isn't bad, two touchdowns, but he also had two costly interceptions as Alabama turned it over four times. What'd you make of Alabama's performance?
Alabama played probably the worst game of the season, still managed to win by two touchdowns. I was very impressed with the defensive effort. Side of the ball looked really good, gave up one touchdown drive, but pretty much contained the read option, the spread read option after that. They were put in several situations with their backs against the wall and did not give up anything. So I think the defense looked really good. Offense, I just think, was the classic Mississippi State letdown. Mississippi State's been playing damage close since forever, it seems. They referenced back in 1980, Alabama was going for a three-peat and derailed it, but Mississippi State giving Alabama their first loss in a while. So it's not unheard of. Mississippi State always tends to play Alabama close, and it was a game that I know a lot of Alabama fans were happy to get over with, but hopefully they won't have any more injuries added on this week against Chattanooga.
Well, and the Tide, it will be a lot of people tuning in to see if Alabama can get that win this weekend in the first quarter, and then they will pull the starters. Ed Orgeron's USC team continues to make a remarkable run since he took over as the head coach. They took down number 4 Stanford 20-17. This is now the third Pac-12 game or Pac-12 win in a row, rather, for Ed Orgeron. They're 8-3, 5-2 in league play, which is now second, tied for second in the Pac-12 South. So my question to you is, does Ed Orgeron deserve the job? And if so, does he even get it?
I don't think he deserves the job. I think Ed Orgeron's done a very good job. I think it would be very much like when Bill Stewart took over at West Virginia when Rich Rod left. Bill Stewart did very good. He was able to get the wins, and they were able to ride that hot momentum. But then when he took over and ran the program, a lot of things went downhill. They suffered. They still haven't really gotten back to the level that Rich Rod had West Virginia. Dana Holgorsen is not doing the great job that everyone expected him to do at West Virginia right now. So I think it would set back USC farther if they hired him. I do think they should probably try to keep him on as a defensive coordinator or a defensive line coach. He's done a really good job with that this year. I think he'll definitely be able to get another job. He may be able to get another coaching job, whether it be with a lower, like Sun Belt or MAC school, but I think that we'll be able to see Ed Orgeron as the head coach again, but I just don't think giving him the keys to a Ferrari like USC would be a very wise move.
Well, he's going to land somewhere, but where do you think the Trojans go? I saw some speculation over the weekend about Jack Del Rio, and of course, Kevin Sumlin has been the hot name. I don't know if there's anything to that. I personally don't think Sumlin will end up there, but I mean, where do the Trojans go?
I think the Trojans head to Nashville, Tennessee, and look at one James Franklin. James Franklin has been a very, very good coach with not that many resources. With the resources he'd have at USC, he'd be someone that could make that team a national powerhouse again. So I have absolute faith in James Franklin turning around USC. If I was the athletics director, James Franklin would be my first call. Kevin Sumlin would be my second.
The ACC saw an interesting weekend. Of course, Jameis Winston has a lot of off-the-field controversy. We talked about it on Friday, looming around him. He didn't miss a beat on the field, though. He was 19 of 21 for 277 yards as number 2 Florida State drummed Syracuse 59-3. But in the other side of that conference, the Coastal Division, Duke took down Miami 48-30, and now it is in control of its own destiny with two road games remaining against Wake Forest and North Carolina to get to the ACC title game. And so this sets up an interesting scenario here, as Duke is on that side, and I think personally they're playing as well. I think they will win those games and get to the ACC title game. And to me, I think Florida State will probably not lose to have a chance of losing to any of those three teams, whether it's Virginia Tech, Miami, or Duke. But Duke, with its confidence right now, perhaps poses the most interesting challenge.
Duke is amazing right now. The story they have, Cutcliffe has turned that program around. You've definitely been able to see what he can do with limited opportunities. You have to wonder if Ole Miss had kept Eric Cutcliffe after that difficulties, and where would Ole Miss be right now? So I think that's probably one of the greatest kick yourselves moments that we've seen in the SEC in a while. But Duke, I agree with you. They should win. They should end up in Charlotte in the ACC championship game. I don't necessarily think they'll be able to beat FSU, but that's still something that you would never have really thought of before, the fact that you would see a Duke football team in an ACC championship game, not a Duke basketball team in an ACC championship game. So the team is playing well. I've watched some of that Duke-Miami game, and it's quite impressive to see what they've done there. So yeah, give your hand to David Cutcliffe. Give you a hand to David Cutcliffe. He's definitely one of the Coach of the Year nominees for national and ACC.
No question he is. Some other scores here while we wrap up. Ole Miss 51, Troy 21. There, also in the SEC, South Carolina eked out a 19-14 win. And now if Missouri wins both of its games, it plays in Atlanta. If it loses either game, then the Gamecocks will represent the East Division in the SEC championship game. Central Florida beat Temple 39-36. Ohio State 60-35 over Illinois. Oklahoma 48-10 over Iowa State. Wisconsin demolished Indiana 51-3. We mentioned Duke and Florida State rolling in their games. Michigan State 41-28 over Nebraska. Oklahoma State ran all over Texas to get a 38-13 win, and they get Baylor at home this week, which will be a very interesting game. Oregon 44-21 over Utah. Louisville beat Houston. Baylor 63-34. It was close for a half, and then Baylor pulled away from the Red Raiders 63-24 in that one. And Arizona State beat Oregon State 30-17, and that wraps your Week 12 in college football. Week 13, as we have 2 weeks remaining in the regular season, promises to be a good one. And we'll get a wrap-up next week from David Sears of that one as well. But Sears,
hey,
yes, go ahead.
I want to say one thing.
Sure, absolutely.
There's potential for deja vu all over again. I know Alabama fans don't want to hear it, but if Auburn somehow wins the Iron Bowl, South Carolina or Missouri somehow loses one of their last two games, we'll get Auburn, South Carolina, and the SEC championship game. And if we have some couple of upsets with Florida State, Baylor, and Ohio State, you could see an Oregon-Auburn national championship game in the Rose Bowl rematch of the 2011 national championship game. That, how freaking would that be if Gus Malzahn is able to do that in his first year at Auburn?
I think Gus Malzahn should just quit if that happens. He should just say, that's it. I've done it twice, done the exact same thing twice. That would be quite amazing. But as you mentioned, a lot has to happen to get Auburn back in that situation. But they are still playing for quite a bit in 2 weeks.
Well, we've seen crazy stuff happen the final 2 weeks of the regular season.
Do you think from your playing experience, does it benefit Alabama more to have an opponent this weekend, albeit an easily beatable opponent, or Auburn to have the off week?
I think it's more beneficial to Alabama this week, merely because it'll allow them to try to work out some of their offensive kinks that they had against Mississippi State. You get some more live scrimmage-type deal. Your only concern is, do we have any major injuries occur? And if you can survive injury-free, then it's a good week of basically just a scrimmage week for you against someone that's different. And everyone knows on the team what to expect next week. It's going to be the biggest Iron Bowl they've ever played in, and the biggest Iron Bowl since 1994 when Alabama came in 10-0, and Auburn came in 9-0-1. So that one, though, Auburn was on probation, so they weren't able to go for the SEC championship game. But it's still going to be a huge deal. I'm looking forward to it, and Alabama should take care of business and make this the most memorable Iron Bowl we've ever seen. Probably better than when Alabama came in number three and Auburn came in number four one year to the Iron Bowl. I want to say that was in the 70s, like 71 or 72. So,
well, yeah, you're right. It's going to be going to be something, and I have a feeling our show next week will be great. All of our shows that we do are very good, but I also have a feeling that our show, when you come on in 2 weeks on Monday, we might have a few things to discuss then.
I hope we do, talking about an Alabama SEC championship game appearance. But the way these two teams have played, it's anybody's game.
No, it is. Auburn is very capable of winning that game. And again, we'll talk about it more as the next 2 weeks progress. But as for this show and week 12 in college football, I'm Jacob Bunn. That pretty much does it for today. We will be back later in the week with more information and details as we progress toward the end of the 2013 college football season.